This week, an Israeli investigation revealed that during the run-up to war in Iraq, Israel's spies were, in the words of the final report, floundering in the dark. The 7-month inquiry found that the legendary Mossad and Israeli military intelligence overestimated Iraq's weapons program. That would put them in good company. The U.S., the British, the French, the Germans, the Russians, just about everybody appears to have misjudged Iraq's arsenal. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly reports.
In Washington and Jerusalem, London and Berlin, the question of who's to blame for bad intelligence on Iraq is a bitter one. David Kaye, the former chief U.S. weapons inspector, told Congress in January that there's plenty of blame to go around.
It turns out we were all wrong, probably, in my judgment, and that is most disturbing.
Disturbing and intriguing, considering how vehemently the governments of countries such as France and Germany opposed the war. It's hard to imagine analysts there were under pressure to present Saddam Hussein as posing an urgent threat. Yet, French and German intelligence did conclude that Saddam had chemical and biological weapons. So did the Israelis, and the Germans went further. Germany's Federal Intelligence Service, the BND, warned that Iraq's nuclear program was active and that Saddam might have a nuclear weapon within 3 years. So far, inspectors in Iraq have turned up nothing to indicate that level of progress. Here are some of the reasons why intelligence services around the world may have overstated Saddam's military capabilities. First, the echo effect. Ruel Gerecht is a former CIA analyst, now at the American Enterprise Institute. He says it's a well-known phenomenon among the French, Germans, and others.
Their intelligence is often, to a great extent, derivative of ours. That's just a fact of life in the intelligence world in the West. You have a sort of a mutual reciprocation, and you sometimes hear an echo effect.
The Israeli report complains about a snowball effect, charging that Israeli assessments got analyzed by U.S. counterparts and eventually found their way back to Israel. The report concludes, it is not inconceivable that such analyses had a bolstering and authenticating effect. Here's a second potential problem, according to Jane Harman, the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee.
The intelligence communities, plural, around the world, all assumed that the failure to prove that weapons of mass destruction were destroyed in Iraq was proof that they existed.
Harman points to Secretary of State Colin Powell's speech to the UN Security Council the month before the U.S. invasion of Iraq got underway. Powell cataloged specific amounts of agents such as anthrax and mustard gas, and then said this.
We have evidence these weapons existed. What we don't have is evidence from Iraq that they have been destroyed or where they are. That is what we are still waiting for.
Harman says in the absence of that evidence, everyone leapt to the conclusion that Saddam was still highly armed. A third factor. When intelligence services have gotten burned in the past, it's usually been for underestimating a country's weapons programs. That was true recently with Libya and Iran and North Korea and with Iraq back in 1991. That's according to Locke Johnson, an intelligence expert who teaches at the University of Georgia.
When we came into Iraq in Persian Gulf War number one, we were shocked to find out the nuclear weapons program and the chemical biological programs were much more advanced than we thought. And so given that experience, it might only be human nature to do a little bit of overestimating the next time.
There were significant differences among the major countries' intelligence assessments. The Germans and the DST, France's counterintelligence agency, were dismissive of U.S. allegations of links between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda. And Israel was never convinced Saddam wanted to rebuild his nuclear program, contrary to the prevailing view in the U.S., Britain, and Germany. But there were common shortcomings. Intelligence analysts say no one had great human intelligence in Iraq, that is, spies on the ground. And everyone was taken in by Saddam's behavior. Gregory Treverton says Saddam acted like a man with something to hide, and so most people decided that he did. Treverton is a former vice chair of the National Intelligence Council, now at the RAND Corporation. He notes that the challenges the world's intelligence agencies faced in Iraq aren't unique to Iraq. They'll sound awfully familiar to anyone watching, say, North Korea.
It is very closed, quite autocratic, very secretive, very hard to penetrate. In that sense, it has a lot in common with Iraq, and I think is a comparable intelligence challenge, maybe even a harder one.
A sobering thought, given how far off the world's intelligence services appear to have been on Iraq. Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.